Hello, everyone. This is the convening of the Technology Committee. It is 8:44, and by my clock, it's 8:43 p.m., and I'm going to take attendance for all of you on the stream. Hello?
Stacey Davis.
Hi, Stacey.
Hi.
We're on the stream. I'm about to take our official attendance.
I got here just in time.
Yeah. Okay, John Almella?
I'm here.
Otis McClay? Otis?
Here.
Okay. Sharam Agamir? Did I pronounce your name correctly? Sharam? Okay, maybe he's calling back. Jim Bennett?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
I'm here.
Russell Dale?
Here.
Kathy Davis, here. Stacey Davis?
Here.
Gregory Isaac? Fred Plunder? Ali Lexa?
Here.
Henry Knorr?
Still here.
Timmy Arendoff?
Present.
Summer Reese? David Salerno?
Here.
Matt Schmid?
Here.
Aki Tanaka?
And here.
And Marissa Westbury. Did someone just come back, or?
Yes, actually it's me. Sharam Agamir, how are you guys? Sorry about that.
Good. You sound a lot better now, so that's great.
Yeah, it's going to get a little better, too. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. So, okay, as the convener, reminding everyone, I'm Kathy Davis from WBAI. I want to thank all of you for being here. I think that this is the first forum technology committee, maybe in a year and a half to 2 years. So I really am grateful for all of you for being here today. Thank you so much. So we sent out with the Otis, our agenda. So is there anyone who didn't receive the agenda? We all have the agenda?
Yes.
So I'm just going to read it for the stream. These are the notes that I took at our first meeting, which was on February 15th. We didn't meet quorum at that meeting, but we had, a really good contribution from each other, and we came up with this agenda. And it looks like we can do some really good work this year. First, we have the sound exchange and podcasting of music. So that is on our agenda. And two, statistics of streaming and downloads of the stations, and in parentheses, gather information and make available to station managers and program councils, and this activity might provide an alternative to Arbitron. Number three, form a subcommittee to work on strategy, vision, best practices for websites, archives, streaming, downloads, social blogging, video, multimedia, social hubs, and to talk about what staffing and technology is needed, and that's what this subcommittee would be about. Four, posting of meetings and minutes and governance issues to websites. Five, national best practices for a collaborative and national broadcast. Six, blog websites for marketing the stations. And I don't remember who, but someone talked about a fan page on Facebook as a way of building followings. Seven, how can Pacifica Radio Archives content be made more accessible, and in parentheses, licensing, funding issues, performance versus research entities. And eight, licensing to clear music for archive downloading and podcasting. And we talked about getting individual permissions from record labels as some kind of an out of this new sound exchange system. and we have a station in the New York area, I believe it's WFMU, which has done just that, but of course they were way ahead of the game. So that's what we have on our agenda. Was there something else that needed to be added to the agenda? From anyone? No?
Sounds good.
Set the next meeting date.
This is Summer Reese. I'm sorry I had the wrong access code. Sorry I'm late.
Summer, glad
Hi.
To have you.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Okay, so choose next meeting date.
No, you're correct. I'm not...
Okay. All right, so we add that to the agenda.
Aren't you supposed to select a chair to nominations and also for secretary?
That sounds good. Nomination yep. for chair and secretary. Okay. Anything else for the agenda? Okay. So,
Kathy, what about introductions?
Well, that's good, too. Introductions. Okay. And that might be helpful in nominating and voting for chairs and secretary. So I think that's a good place to start. Any other additions to the agenda? No? Okay, so are there any objections to accepting this agenda? Or do we want to discuss further? I would suggest choosing the next...
Yes, this is Henry Knorr. I guess I wanted to, I think it's just a clarification, but I want to be sure. The first item is we have sound exchange and podcasting.
Yes.
Can we also talk about sound exchange and archiving under that heading?
Yeah, I think that's fine for the clarification.
Yeah, I mean, archiving in the sense not of Pacifica Archives, but of...
On the individual website of the program.
Yeah.
I got it. Anything else?
And this is Summer. I'm sorry for those of us who are late. I have all the emails. Is that basically what's going into the agenda, these things that were brought up from the last meeting?
Yes.
Okay. And
I was getting additional items.
Okay. And when we get to posting, number four on that, posting of meetings and minutes and governance issues to website, that's where we'd handle any other... things of a housekeeping nature that should be on the national website, like audits and stuff like that?
Well, I don't know what that means.
Okay. Well, maybe if I could bring it up when we get to that point.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, great. Thank you.
What I'd like to do, though, is first to choose our next meeting date and to go to introductions, and let's try to keep it to under 2 minutes. And we can see if anyone is interested in nominating for the chair and secretary after that, and then going into the agenda. Is there any objection to that order? No? Okay, that sounds great. So why don't we first start by looking at the calendar for the meeting date. Is anyone logged into the Pacifica?
Yeah, I am. This Bill.
Because I don't have my login information. It's on my computer at home.
I know there are very few open dates in April because we went through this last night on finance trying to find two dates for our meetings.
Well, the fourth Wednesday is available next month also.
Oh.
What is that, the 28th?
The 28th. That's what this is, the fourth Wednesday. So.
Okay. So what do... we have a pretty full meeting. Maybe we should go for that.
Are you getting close to the PNB meeting?
It's right after the PNB.
Oh, right after it. 23rd,
okay. 24th, and 25th.
The 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th are all open.
Okay. So Wednesdays work best for me. But how does it look for the rest of you?
I think it's fine.
Yeah?
If everybody can get back.
John, are you able to register it in the system, or otherwise I'd have to wait till I go home? And by then, another committee might have the date.
I could do it, or Otis can do it.
Okay.
What day was that again?
The 28th.
The 28th at 8:30?
8:30.
Okay. Is there any chance that we can end today at 10:30? Because some of us have early starts tomorrow to do work.
Well, let's go for that. I think that's great because I'm still at work and I'd like to get home before midnight.
Yeah.
So that sounds good to me. Is there any adjourning at 10:30?
None here.
Or by 10:30.
Well, we may have to just watch the times for each agenda item, or we won't get through it all, though.
Okay, that's true, that's true. Okay, so why don't we... Can I have someone to volunteer as a timekeeper? Is there anyone...
Bill, I'll do it.
Okay, who's that?
Bill.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Okay, so that's great. So next on the agenda is introduction. And if, you know, let's not go over 2 minutes. If you can be short, that's great. So that we know each other. I'll go in the same order that I told attendance. John Almella.
Hi there, I'm John Almella. I'm the National Technology Director for Pacifica. I started listening to WBAI when I was 2, and that's quite a while ago. I was a volunteer in 1976 and 77, an engineering intern. I came back to Pacifica in 2001, volunteered, did a lot of meetings, became a national broadcast engineer for Pacifica, and currently national technical director. I have a background in audio technology and production. I've been a CD mastering engineer for a major record label, done a lot of editing, etc. That's me. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, John. Otis McClay.
Yeah, I've been with Pacifica since 1967, when we did a show on WBAI. So that was actually my home station. And currently, you know, I've done a lot of theater and radio. Had a show here for 10 years. Had a comedy thing that was on the NPR satellite. Not NPR, I rented it. And right now what I'm doing is probably most of the back-end web work for Pacifica. I wrote the thing we hate. So that's what I've been doing.
Right. Well, weren't you a PD?
No, I was PD. I was PD at KPFT for like 3 years.
Okay, cool. Sharam Agamar?
Yeah. I'm a programmer at KPFA. I've been there since 2003. I co-produce a weekly show called Voices of the Middle East and North Africa. Try to help with the other programmers. I'm an on-paid staff, member of the on-paid staff organization, and currently I'm serving as a director representing KPFA on the national.
Okay. Jim Bennett?
Hi. First of all, I want to say that I used to read radio stories to John Almella when he was 2 years old. That inspired him to become part of Pacifica. But no, I actually...
That was you? That was you?
Yeah, it was me, yes. Johnny. I actually started at KPFA as a volunteer in 1980 and became a staff member in 1981 as a production engineer. Then I became operations director 2 years later. I started doing a volunteer music program at KPFA in 1981 that lasted my whole time at KPFA, so that was 28 years plus. And then I was also the national tech director for Pacifica before John did our 2004 Pacifica convention coverage with John and Otis and others. I was interim station manager of KPFA for the better part of 5 years. Currently I am station manager at one of Pacifica's affiliates, WMNF in Tampa, Florida.
Thank you. Bill Crozier?
Hi, I'm with KPFT, and I was on the technology committee year before last, and I've been on the local board for, this is my fourth year, first year on the PNB. I'm an engineer, mostly electrical. I've done some software, but not web stuff very much. Just a little bit of playing around with some Drupal websites, but and very interested in seeing how we can promote Pacifica and our programming using the web, using the internet.
Okay. Russell Dale?
Oh, hi. This is Russell. I'm an electrical engineer as well. Did you say, Bill, you're an electrical engineer?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I am as well. I've been an engineer for 25 years, and I'm also a software engineer. In fact, most of my work has been in software engineering, in database engineering, and internet application, large internet applications and network applications. I'm also a musician, and I've been listening to WBAI since the 70s, so over 30 years. But I've only recently been involved in the governance. So happy to be here, and thank you for having me. Hope I can help.
Thanks, Russell.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm next on the list. I'm Kathy Davis. I'm currently the public affairs director at WBAI, and I've been in this position, it seems, maybe 7 or 8 years, lost track of that. I'm an unpaid producer, or have been for some 18 years at WBAI. Before that, I was, of course, a listener and volunteer. So I kind of came up through the ranks, as many people do, at Pacifica. And, that's me. All right, so let's have Stacy. Stacy Davis?
Hi, I'm a Gemini. My name is Stacy Davis. I'm a Gemini. I like long walks on the beach. Obviously, I'm a programmer at KPFT. I do a political satirical talk show, and I'm a member of our LSB.
Cool.
That's it. That's all I got.
Hey, Gregory, Isaac, are you here? Okay, no. Fred Klunder, are you here?
Oh, Fred Klunder's in Europe. I'm sorry. He's from our station.
Oh, okay. Ali Lexa?
Hi, this is Ali Lexa from KPFK. I'm the web director. Before I was here, I was a production manager at MGM, and I oversaw web development on all the websites for their TV shows and motion pictures. This will be my fourth year on the tech committee, and I want to say I'm really encouraged by how many people are on this call. In the 4 years I've been on this committee, sometimes often never reaching quorum our meetings, I'm glad to see that people are finally really understanding how important the work that we do here is.
Great. Thank you, Alex. Henry Knorr? Henry?
Might have been disconnected. I heard somebody.
Yeah, talk. I know you were here. Well, come back to you, Henry. Kimberly Orndorff?
Kimberly Orndorff, volunteer at WPFW. This would be my 25th year in May. Web designer, teacher, vocalist, programmer for 25 years, board op, web design, internet broadcaster. Advocate for young people.
Great. Henry, did you come back?
I did.
Okay, do you want to introduce
yourself? I've been cut off two or three times already, but I hope it'll last. So is it my turn?
Yeah, to introduce yourself.
Okay, quickly, let's see. My main reason I'm here, I guess, is that I, for several decades, was a technology journalist writing about personal technology kind of stuff. And I'm particularly interested in boosting Pacifica's presence and vitality online.
Great. What station are you with?
KPFA, sorry, Berkeley.
Great.
I'm on the LSB here.
Summer Reese?
Hi, yes. I'm Summer Reese from KPFK. I've been on the local station board for 2 years as a listener-sponsor rep, serving as treasurer for most of that time. And I'm now chair of the National Finance Committee and the local general manager search committee. And I do legal and accounting stuff most of the time. And I'm not a tech person, but I'm fairly cognizant of technical issues and certainly improvements that can be made to make all of our stuff more accessible to the public. So I'm looking forward to serving on this committee.
Excellent. David, Elena?
Yes, I'm KPFT. I'm a recent nominee to the LSB. I'm involved with the GLBT community here. I want to get more involvement with KPFT and with Pacifica in that matter. We're not tapping a huge market, so I would love to get more involvement there. And I'm open, and I'm got a learning curve that I have to learn all about whatever technology, whatever it takes to move Pacifica in that direction. So whatever, I'm open to all kinds of suggestions. We want to hold some fundraisers and maybe perhaps be a kind of direction for the rest of Pacifica to maybe follow. Because we are the only ones that have two GLBT station programmings, both on Monday and Saturday, I believe. So anyway, that's me.
Thank you. Max Schmid.
Hello. I've been a programmer at WBAI since 1978, paid staff since 1989, started out as a janitor and elevator operator, worked my way up to interim operations director at one point, and foolishly got elected to the board last year as well.
Aki Aka?
Yeah, I'm with KPFK, and I started listening to KPFT when I was at Rice Electrical Engineering degree. So I'm still here 40 years after. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Marissa Westbury, are you with us yet? Marissa? No? Okay, that was really kind of fun. Thanks. Well, you know, this committee has such a wealth of experience. It's pretty very cool. All right, so we're ready for nominations for chair and secretary. You can certainly nominate yourself. Don't be shy. Who would like to nominate or be nominated for chair? Okay, don't all shout at once.
Kathy, do you want to be chair?
Yes, I was going to say the same thing. This is Kimberly. Kathy, I nominate you for chair.
Okay.
You're doing such a great job so far.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Would anyone else like to be chair? No? Okay. How about secretary? And we have a nomination or volunteer to...
Well, I move we accept Kathy by acclamation as chair.
Second.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Except, I really like this committee. It's actually, it feels like we're going to get something done. And secretary, do we have a nomination or volunteer for secretary?
I'll nominate Bill.
I'll second that.
Well, I'd rather somebody else do it. I've got so many committees right now. I'd rather somebody else.
Okay.
But I'll be a backup. How's that?
Well, that sounds great. Anyone else? You know, it's the kind of thing where everybody's got to step back and leave one in the front. Okay, Bill, would you be backup to what I've been doing thus far? Help take notes.
For secretary?
I'll take notes, you take notes, and that way if we miss stuff, we might be able to pull it together.
I think it's hard for somebody. I've tried doing this, being chair and taking notes to say, and I do take notes, but it's really hard. You miss stuff, or you have to wait
on
business while you're writing things down.
My dilemma right now.
How about Jim Bennett?
We need a secretary.
Jim, do you have any interest in being a secretary?
I actually really don't want to commit to that because I'm so stretched with time. I don't think I'd do a good job. So.
Okay.
Nominate Summer Reese. This is Kimberly. I knew you would laugh.
Oh, that's cold, man.
hope you got space for me. You are in L.A., right?
Yes. Coming on out to visit. I also feel in the same position because I'm chair of two committees.
Well,
won't be able, in addition to the PNB duties. See, this is how we all sneak out of it, huh?
All the
committees we're on.
Well, somebody who doesn't feel too busy volunteer on an interim basis, then maybe if you don't do it, you know, we could find someone else to do it. You know, you can get volunteers to step up each time.
I'll volunteer to be interim secretary for this evening and give everyone so we can go on with the meeting and then...
Okay, great.
Maybe someone else would step up to the plate and agree to do it for the rest of the year, but I'll go ahead and do it for tonight.
Okay, this summer?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Summer.
Sure, of course.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you. All right, so interim secretary will be Summer. Okay, so that takes care of that. We're doing pretty good on time, I think. So the next of our agenda items is to talk about the sound exchange, podcasting, and archiving of programs as it relates to sound exchange. And why don't we, since how many items do we have? We have like 8 items. So why don't we give that 15 minutes? Is that acceptable? Okay, good. Who would like to be first on the stack? Max, did you want to finish your earlier conversation, or Otis, do you want to start again?
Well, maybe someone should lay out why it is we think we're doing this, and then I can tell you the problems we have in actually accomplishing it.
What are we doing?
Lay this out to people? Otis? Okay, John? John O'Mella?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm having trouble unmuting.
Oh, okay. Let me let Otis do this.
We can just tell you that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's been around since 1996, but, you know, we've all been ignoring it. And this was added to when, I don't know when the copyright thing was passed, like 2004. This is the RIAA trying to recover money that it's lost. Nobody wants to go to stores to buy CDs if they can get them on the net. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of refer to this as the Kill the Internet Act. It requires us to play only certain ways. If you look at the DMCA, you know, that we, John and Doug George have circulated. And I think, you know, there's been some stuff at KPFK, I know that. You know, rules about what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. But the big change is that we have to, and this is the law, okay? We could, you know, violate the law, but the cost, if we got caught, would be incredibly high. Maximum fine for copyright infringement is $150,000 per exposure. If you had 12 people listening to the net, hearing that, potentially, that would be 12 times, you know, $150,000. I looked at KPFK today, and you had 138 people online. So we've been advised by our attorney, John Kriegler, who knows about this stuff, to conform. And this copyright confessor thing that has, you know, kind of shown up in the last month, although it's actually been around since November.
Is that Otis's program?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter whose it is, but it happens that it's mine.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't work. this is the process of doing what we've actually supposed to have been doing for the past 5 years. That's kind of the sad part. situation where this year we're allowed to report every quarter 2 weeks. And this is supposedly, you know, getting us used to it, testing it. You know, it is invasive, and it is, as Max has pointed out and other people, it actually affects the creativity. The design of this whole system, this reporting business, not the software, was basically on people's ideas of top 40 stations. You know, that's what they're thinking. And automated stations, obviously automated stations can report this directly, but community radio is a totally different breed of cat. We have a much more eclectic music base and, you know, things that don't show up in databases because people bring them back from Europe or, you know, generate them themselves. So this is a real problem, and it's invasive and unpleasant. We thought about the software a lot and tried to design something that was as least invasive as possible. And it's modeled after a playlist system that's been running at KPFT now for about 5 years. The purpose of that system was for people to enter what they're playing so it would show up in a playlist, basically on the web page for listeners. And obviously the system has that capability too, you know, to compare it. But you know, that's the situation. The bottom line on this is that's the law. The two-phase approach that I suggest is, A, we obey the law because not doing it is potentially could kill Pacifica, literally, with the kind of money that they're talking about. And, B, we work on getting the law changed, you know, and finding out what things about this act may or may not be unconstitutional.
Limited okay, I'd like to take a stack. Who wants to speak first?
Well, any questions I would have to ask? I guess that's what you mean by the stack.
Any questions?
I would like to comment that...
Can I take a stack first? Is that, who is that?
Stacey Davis.
Wait, Stacey. Okay, anyone else?
Max.
Jim.
Yes, anyone else?
Henry.
Kim.
Okay.
Kimmery.
Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack. All right, Stacy.
Well, we use the software at KPFT, and we haven't had any problems. It works fine. It's just pretty straightforward. does what it's supposed to do. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Here's the thing. We are radio stations, essentially, and, you know, radio producers. This whole business of bowing to 10 listeners on the stream is what has everyone up in arms at WBAI. We have to alter the way that we broadcast and, you know, are creative in order to attempt to simultaneously hit a play button and enter data that may or may not be accurate while we're looking up stuff on another computer to find information to log in. I'm just wondering if at some point there might not be a blanket fee like we pay to, for our broadcast licenses that cover everything. Is that ever going to happen? Because that would certainly alleviate everything.
Well, it exists now.
Then why don't we just pay a blanket fee and not do this?
Because it doesn't exist for us. You can go. Here's what you can do. And I invite anybody who wants to do this. We have massive documentation from John Kriegler, a lot of which has been included and presented in the documents that John and John L. Mellon and Doug George wrote. Very, very thorough discussions of all these issues. You can also go to soundexchange.com, and you can look there and see what the different categories are of people who have to, you know, register, and you can find out if all of us have missed it. So, you know, you can do that. And I encourage you to to do that to see what we're dealing with here. You just go to the soundexchange.com, and there's a whole lot of information there about what the law says, what we have to do.
Henry?
Yeah, thanks. My concern, I mean, I've looked into this a bunch, and I agree. I don't see any way around the reporting requirements. I mean, we are already paying lump sum in terms of money, but there's no real way around the reporting requirements that go with that, as far as I can tell, for music. But my concern has to do with program public affairs shows that don't include music or only a minimal amount of music. Here at KPFA, the management, when this came down last summer, the management implemented a policy of limiting public access to archives of everything to 2 weeks, including the news broadcasts and other things that didn't have music in them. And I wonder whether that's the policy at other stations. It does not appear to me that there's any reason why we have to do that. I looked up the reference memo that the NFTB distributed, and the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, about this last summer, and they, according to their memo, there's no problem with broadcast transmissions that make no more than an incidental use of sound recordings.
What's incidental use?
Could I respond to that?
Yep.
Sure.
John.
An incidental use is less than 30 seconds, or if, let's say, you're at a sporting event and it's in the background. So the incidental use would not be a featured use. It cannot be the whole sound recording. If, let's say, you had a song that was 28 seconds and you played 28 seconds, that would not be incidental use because you're playing the whole sound recording. It's used primarily as like a theme music or as a segue between segments in a show or as an outro theme. Again, if you're in a public event and you're broadcasting from a public site and they're playing music in the background and you're not featuring that music, then you have people talking over that music, it's considered incidental.
So
we should add though that podcast does not come under any of this.
That's correct.
Totally separate.
It's totally separate, and they're
separate entities.
It doesn't come under the CPB agreement at all. So you really can't put sound recordings unless you own the licenses outright or you have been given the rights to the licenses outright in an automated delivery system like podcasting.
Sorry, can I just follow up on my question about the archives?
Sure.
About public affairs? I don't know who that was who explained it about incidental use, but it seems to me that all suggests that primarily talk shows that have either no music or less than 30 seconds of intro and outro should have no problem with this, shouldn't at all, but
Henry, this is Jim, and I was going to actually wait and respond, but I'll just give you this information. At WMNF, we do archive longer our public affairs programs, but what we do is we assign volunteers to review those programs for the archives, and if there is significant music content for some reason on that public affairs show, we take that out. So, for instance, if they're doing an interview with someone who is in the arts field who might be making a political statement of some kind, we excise the interview portion, and if they play an entire piece of music, we take that out. But we still are able to archive the interviews or the major content of that public affairs program for an extended period of time because we've taken care of the music content on it. And that way, because we have volunteers doing it, it's less time for our staff to be able to turn that around and get that up on archives. But that's to us is really the only way that we can handle it and make sure that we're complying.
Is that Jim speaking?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I add an amendment to this?
Who's that?
This is John.
Okay, John.
I don't want to take away from others' people's time, but we are looking at a way. A number of years ago, Rob Robinson was working on a project called Licensing and Distribution, and one of the things he found out was that Pacifica and our radio stations are considered performance entities, so therefore we have a certain set of rules about fair use, and there are other entities like archive.org that are considered educational entities, thereby they're mostly for research, and they have possibly different rules. So it may be that they could host the archives after 2 weeks on archive.org, and they would be able to, they wouldn't have a liability, and we could possibly do some type of a linkage to them. So that may be a possibility. I was hoping this committee could, we maybe could have a subcommittee to research that and pose that question to the Pacifica lawyers to see if that's a possibility of moving forward, because that might be a fairly easy way to keep our archives up there in perpetuity.
Okay. Summer, can I be on the staff?
Summer, okay, hold on, Summer. Okay, so I was next on the stack, and then I'll put Summer. Anyone else on the stack?
This is Jim. I still am on the stack. I just responded to Henry's question there.
Okay.
We're almost out of time.
Okay, so I just wanted to speak briefly that Max is correct. The producers in New York are quite frustrated by this because it's here in New York that live radio was created. And this, somebody called this the Kill the Internet Act. We're thinking that it's the Kill the Radio Act, because our radio broadcast has completely different rules than this internet system.
Kathy, you should know that there's a bill in Congress to extend it to radio.
Yeah, well,
just for your information.
We should do something about this if we can. But what we've been looking at also here in New York is, especially for some of the public affairs programs, is using open source music and getting written permission for music so that it's not liable to particular labels. So my question is, what do we do with open source music, music that we've been given from the artist? How is it logged into the system? Or does it have to be logged into the system? Is my question.
Why wouldn't you want to log it into the system and give the artist who created it credit?
Well, right now, I see the answer to
in that
question.
Regard, but I'm thinking in terms of the legality of not having a label. You know, it's not a question of giving the artist credit. I'm thinking in terms of the regulation.
Well, right now the regulation is you log it.
I'd like to be on the stack.
Who is that?
We're at time.
I'm sorry?
We're at time.
5 minutes to extend.
Any objection to extending 5 minutes? Okay, who was that last person to be on the stack?
It's Stacy. I just...
All right, Summer's next.
Thank you. I guess my question is in regard to what John raised a moment ago, that Pacifica is considered, I'm not sure if I got the word right, a performance venue. Is that correct? Anyway, and not an educational
institution. A performance entity. That's my understanding.
I'd like to know, I mean, from a legal perspective, how that coincides with our actual 501c3 nonprofit status as an educational entity. That is precisely the type of nonprofit corporation that we are, is an educational entity. So I'm hard-pressed to figure out how that decision was made that some other archiving institution...
I realize that we... I think because we're radio stations and that it falls the leak. I don't know. That's a clarity we need to find out.
This is Jim, if I can intercede. I think actually our interpretation here at WMNF, and we're very similar to the Pacifica stations in terms of our policies and our mission, is that you can archive public affairs programs. You can also archive music programs, but no more than a week. You can archive, we choose, just because of our server space, to archive our public affairs programs for 3 months, and we have been told that that's perfectly acceptable as long as there is not major music content in them.
Well, I would like to get a legal
The same lawyer that Pacifica has.
Okay, Summer, are you done?
Well, I was. All I'm saying is I think I'd like to see a real legal opinion on that, because our very status with the federal government is that of an educational institution. And
John Kriegler is Pacifica's lawyer as well as ours, and he has given us that opinion.
Jim?
Okay.
Jim?
Thank you.
I understand what you're saying, but, you know, just let her...
Thank you, Kathy. Yeah. Anyway, I understand that may be where we're at with the opinion, but it sounds like a potential conflict of law issue if we end up getting into, you know, pursuing this further legally. And obviously, if there's a bill pending in Congress that would apply this to radio, we need to be cognizant of all that. But we are, in fact, considered an educational institution, so I'd like to see where we can parse that legal definition. If other institutions are able to archive things because they are educational, perhaps it has to do with separating how we do this. So, you know, it needs to be pursued further, because that is who we are. Anyway, I'm done. Thank you.
Jim, did you have something else to say, or did you cover
it? Yeah, I just wanted to say briefly, getting back to the reporting, Otis, you may, if you haven't already done so, WMNF is very similar to KPFT in terms of our Matt Calley, who's our webmaster, has developed a similar program for reporting based on our programmers entering their playlist as they customarily do. And it sounds like it's the same thing that you're doing with your new program. It may be good for you just to check in with him and see if there's any... problems that he's run into, or any suggestions he can make to help your system as well. So,
cool.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt and I do talk occasionally.
I'm sorry, Stacy is next.
Yeah, I just think that we should just worry about complying with the law first and changing the law second. I mean, if the law is the law, let's deal with. I mean, this is the technology committee. We should be urging the people in our radio stations, training them how to use the software, get them up and running on how to obey the law, and then we can fight the fight, you know, with the government on changing the law. But right now, we should just obey it.
I agree with that.
Okay, so that's the end of that stack.
How do you mute real quick? I've got to go into the place.
I think it's #1 both ways.
Okay.
All right, so... the next item that we can flesh out is something about statistics of streaming and downloads of the stations, gathering information, making available to station managers and program councils to use as an alternative to Arbitron. Does the person who made that agenda item recall making that item? Okay, does anyone want to comment?
Well, this is Bill. I may have been one of the people that mentioned it last week, or last time. I just thought it would be helpful for us to publicize or share with each other the streaming and downloading statistics for all of our stations.
Okay.
I know there was one station, I think it was KPFK, who had it in the report that was provided to the PNB at the DC meeting. But that was really useful. That was really interesting. It'd be nice to know, see what differences are between stations and, you know, between different types of times of day and types of shows and that sort of thing. And it could help with us with the marketing if we want to do more marketing via the internet and outside of our local signal areas.
So would you like to make a motion, maybe some friendly letter to the GMs asking them to provide that information to the committee?
Or maybe John or Otis can tell us, is that readily available anyway, or do we know?
We have that at three stations. I think Ali can talk about KPFK. KPFA, I think they have that information. I don't know how easy it is for them to generate.
Jim, and actually KPFA has a really good system with
an
analysis of that data that can be brought up instantly with computers at the station. And reports can be generated and provided to both the PNB and also to the station managers and program councils. That stuff is really well done, and some of the previous IT people came up with that at KPFA.
WBAI has
Ali's been tracking.
Hold on, please. rather than us all jumping in, because we don't really know who you are yet, could we first just identify, you know, just say you want to speak next, so that we can let her speak, then we'll go to the next person. Thanks.
Sotis, and I just want to say Ali's been tracking downloads from the archive, which are actually very, very interesting.
And very sad that we've had to take down all the music archives, podcasts, and downloads, because those were in our top 20 of all downloads. I think we had two or three public affairs shows that were up there, but the music podcast was doing really well for us.
Okay.
This is John.
Yes, John.
WBAI has a small intranet server, which is just a website server that they use for their internet, and Pete Caracas installed this a few years ago, and I think it had some software on there to track listeners on the stream. I don't know about the archive. I guess Otis can probably modify something to give some statistics for his archiving system, which three of our stations are using at this point. So we probably can get some of that information. I don't think KPFT has that information. WPFW doesn't manage their own web streams at this point. I lied about that. They're in transition, moving to a new server, so they probably will be. Probably will be instituting something that will help them to track that also.
Okay. All right. Anyone else want to comment?
This is Max.
Yes, Max.
I used to have an URL. I know that there is an extensive logging system and tracking system of the BAI stream, but I guess Pete would be the one to get that information from, because he gave it to me many years ago.
I think probably a current web person could get that information as well. I've seen that information provided a number of times. There seems to be some inconsistencies between the stations. So perhaps we can, since we all come from the stations, we can begin to assimilate that information and feed it into our group so that we can have an assessment of what's there and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like a reasonable suggestion?
Yeah, this is Bill again.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, I agree with that. And one reason two reasons, I guess, to think the statistics would be helpful is to look and see, you know, if there's huge amounts of certain programs being downloaded or streamed, or especially the downloads, the podcasts. Those are the ones we need to worry about, I guess, if we have to cut back on the archives. And maybe if some programs have very few downloads, maybe we don't need to worry so much about them. And just, you know, if they have to stay on the archive only for a short time, that's okay. But if there's a few programs that are real popular, you know, maybe we could concentrate on getting volunteers to edit out the music or, I don't know, something.
Okay. I have okay, anyone else before putting myself on the stack? Anyone else? No? And in a way, this is beginning to sound related to the first question we were talking about. With all of this downloading, would it be, and this is a question for John or Otis, would it be reasonable for us to just make our available through something like iTunes and have people pay $1 per download and just pay the artist?
I don't know how you can license that. I don't think you can just make it available to iTunes that way. I think you'd have to work out an agreement with the copyright holders to do something like that.
You'd have to have the copyright. You got to understand that. The problem with copyright is it's not simple. In most cases, the record companies actually hold the copyright, but they may not even hold a copyright for the published music, which may be a different copyright.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's a very murky issue, and the law says we have to record it.
Okay.
And it also says that podcast doesn't come under any of these agreements. It's a totally separate presentation, which, you know, would make us liable there. I mean, what Jim does at WMNF is, that's the safe way to do it. So that, you know, and I share the concern about podcasts of public affairs because I think that's our bread and butter, although, you know, Ollie might contend that, given that so many people are downloading music.
Okay. I think we're probably out of time on this.
Can I make one more, clarify one point?
Okay, go ahead, John.
The CPB Sound Exchange agreement basically stipulates that you can have play on demand, you can't download, because they can't tell how many times you've listened to a file if you download it. So basically, play on demand is the only way that you can have your archives under this agreement.
Okay.
Unless you, there's no musical copyrighted compositions within the actual audio file, and then of course you can do whatever you want with it.
May I make a quick suggestion?
Who's that?
It's Kevin White.
Yes, please.
Maybe we need to get local bands to provide music for public affairs programs to bypass the license issue altogether.
Yes!
This is Russell. May I make a comment?
Before you do, Kevin.
Yes?
Are you on this committee?
Am I on this? I'm becoming a volunteer again, but I'm very interested because the technology committee is the most important committee of the PNB right now.
I have no objection. I just realized when you announced yourself that I didn't have you on your list. What station are you from?
KPFT. I was invited by David Salerno to listen in, and then it seems so simple to me. If we got local bands interested in attention to provide music for our public affairs program, it bypasses the whole issue altogether.
As long as that music is theirs and it's not copyrighted by the major.
They have to volunteer it. You know, it'd be the artist's own discretion.
The other thing that doesn't address, however, is let's say you do a public affairs program and you have on as guest Joan Baez, and in the course of airing that program live on the station, you play her music. You have to take out all but 30 seconds of that song that you play if you are going to make it available as an archive. So that won't work for nationally prominent artists who might be interviewed in a public affairs program where you might play a few minutes of their music or a full selection. You would have to edit that selection.
How often does that happen?
Hold on.
A lot.
Tim? Not a KPFT.
Before we, I know it's a natural flow of conversation, but it would be good if you identify yourselves as you speak so we know, so we get to know who each other are. Is that Jim?
That was Jim, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm already getting to know your voice. Okay, any other comments on this?
This is Summer. I just wanted to make a South comment.
Summer, yeah, go ahead.
I totally second our colleague from Texas there on getting local bands. I think that's an excellent idea. I mean, we could develop a system of having, you know, forms that people sign off in terms of copyright agreements, especially for unsigned bands like that give us permission for use in public affairs programming for archives. And it would take some consultation with legal counsel, but frankly, even for, big-name guests, you know, they have their record labels and everything. I think there is a way to get permission for use of something, but it takes systematizing it, just like everything else, so that we have a uniform system for agreement to use a particular song for a particular program. Most guests appearing on a show aren't going to mind if you also rebroadcast their song, but they may have a record label involved and all that sort of thing. But these are not insurmountable problems, especially if we use more local music. That would certainly help a lot, I think.
Can I get on the stack?
Who is that, John?
It's Ali.
Ali, yeah. Go ahead, Ali.
Just so you all know, we actually, in the last 2 weeks, we have gotten a release form that we have in our master control room, and we have a lot of live performances, so anytime we have a live artist perform now, we get them to sign this release form. We're planning to start putting together some CDs that we're going to offer during fun drives with performances here, but also so that if someone big like Joan Baez comes in and sings a song live, we've got that covered, as well as doing the sound exchange if we play any of her recordings on top of that.